You may be seated this morning. To all of our mothers here today, thank you for coming. Happy Mother's Day. And we hope you have an amazing time. Second Sunday of the month, Children's Church is being dismissed downstairs. And as they're going, moms, thank you for coming today and being here in our service. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Is the beginning of our message, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Have you ever had the wonderful experience and privilege of removing a skunk from your property? Oh, some of us have. For those of you who haven't, count yourselves blessed because they're fun. Unlike this lovable, cute little thing that's behind you that Disney liked to said was a flower, they don't resemble too much like flowers. Was lucky enough at Hobby Lobby, one was in our parking lot, and got ran over right in front of our door. So every time we came in and out, every time the door opened, this wonderful fragrance and aroma of skunk came barreling into the store. And it wasn't long until it was just overwhelming, and we had to do something about the skunk. I drew the short straw. So with our worst and oldest shovel in hand, I went out to do business with the skunk to take him to his final resting place. And sure enough, messing with it, it smelled just as bad as what it did if it was there. And I know that God put that amazingly putrid smell in that animal as its defense mechanism, so that it can be protected against things that would want to devour it and eat it. I get it, but I don't understand why God lets it keep stinking after the thing is dead. He could have just moments after everything, that it breathed its last, that everything that made it stink just dissolved away, but that's not what happens. And me and that shovel, I couldn't keep it out far enough away from me because it was bad. And all the stuff dripping from it was horrid. And that was my experience with the skunk. And most of us would probably agree that it is a horrible smell, and we would want nothing to do with it. Example number one. Example number two this morning. Coffee. I love the smell of coffee brewing. As a matter of fact, Sunday mornings after Denny starts it, he leaves and gets ready for Sunday school. And I'm here left in the church, my office door is open. And it's so wonderful just in there. Smell, I love the smell of coffee, but I don't like the taste of it. And all my coffee drinking brothers and sisters out there, God bless you. There's not enough sugar, I think, around for me to taste. Because every time I've tried it, it's just... And too many people have said, well, it's just an acquired taste. Well, what's an acquired taste? That means it's something that doesn't taste good, but you have to keep downing it, even though it makes you sick, until it doesn't make you sick anymore, right? That's the acquired taste, right, with coffee? Well, something that might not be coffee to you, but something else that you like the smell of, the taste, maybe not so much. Example number three. One of my favorite smells in the whole world. Oh, I can tell by your reaction, the picture behind me is no longer the skunk. Chocolate chip cookies. The amazing aroma of chocolate chip cookies being banked is one of my favorite smells anywhere. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure of this, but I think it's a good guess that I think this is what heaven smells like. I don't know that for sure, just an assumption, but it's got to be close to that in my mind because it's just an amazing smell. Every once in a while, I'll come home from work and Ginger will have cookies baking for the kids, and you walk in the door. I mean, you just open it, and you get a whiff, and it's like, oh, I hope they're good enough for me to try them yet. It's just so, the smell is just amazing and overwhelming. And for the record, my mouth has no qualms with those round pieces of perfection. My waist, yes, my waist has an issue with it, but my mouth, no, not at all. I like my chocolate chip cookies. But what's the difference between these three things? What's the difference between something that stinks and you avoid it? Something that you think might smell good, but yet just isn't exactly what you want to eat or drink. are something that both smells and tastes wonderful. Well, this morning the answer is found in how you live your faith. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. That wasn't where we were expecting you to go with this. Well, maybe not. But according to our text this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I believe it's exactly what we have to wrestle with this morning. So let's jump into our text. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 14. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. This amazing verse is filled with two images that we have to look at this morning. Two images that we have to wrestle with in this whole idea. The first image is the concept of God leading us in triumphant procession. Now, this is a concept that's a little hard for us to grasp. Back in Paul's day, they really had moments of triumphant procession. That was a military thing that would happen. When the armies that were out opposing each other, when one would come home victorious and triumphant, they would have a triumphant procession. And it would start off with all the moms or wives or family members going out to meet the army as they were returning to try to see if their loved one was still there, if the person that they had cared for and sent into battle was returning. And there would be great victory and joy when they would see their loved ones. And there would be wonderful victory celebration as they would come back and welcome back into the city and towns. And this was their triumphant procession. Now, we here in America don't get to celebrate that too much, right? I mean, the last time we really had a big celebration after a war was World War II. So we don't get a good idea of what a triumphant procession is. That is, unless we're in one of those lucky cities that happen to, say, win a Super Bowl, right? Then you get a ticker tape parade, and then you get the cavalcade of the victorious team as they go through the streets, right? If Cleveland can keep everybody healthy, it looks like they can't. You know, maybe they'll get one for the Cavs going through there. I don't know. Or maybe miracle above miracles, right? The Browns win the Super Bowl. Right? And again, that is a proper sentence to put that in the terms of a miracle, correct? Browns winning the Super Bowl. Oh, hopefully not. But who knows? Maybe it'll happen one day. But if the Browns won the Super Bowl, you know what would happen. They would have the victory parade in the middle of January, and there'd be thousands upon thousands of people downtown Cleveland in the snow squall to welcome and parade their team through the streets. Because we get the idea of what it means to have victory in those terms. But this is what Paul says about us. God leads us through this world in a triumphant procession, on display for the world to see. But not a display like a museum. That's not what we're talking about. Museums are filled with things that used to be and used to happen and used to take place. And you can go to the World War II Museum and see all the artifacts that happened from that victory and see their uniforms and all of those wonderful things. You can see all of that. We're not talking about a museum piece that's on display. We're not a display of things that used to be. We're a triumphant procession today. We're a living, moving display of Christ's current victory over sin in this world. And we are on display for all the world to see. And we should be showing this world what victory in Christ looks like. It's up to us to show the world what victory really is and what it looks like and how we handle stress. We should be showing the world what a Christian does when he handles or she handles stress. Stress is one of the biggest complaints in the workplace today. How do we handle it? And how we handle opposition. Are we showing the world how Christ would handle opposition? And how we live and what we do? Are we showing the world what would happen? Are we showing the world the victory in Christ and how we handle temporary setbacks? Now, I don't say loss because it's just a temporary setback. We win. In the end, there's victory for us. And no matter what we have to face here in this earth, in this world that we live in, they're temporary setbacks because in the end, we know that we win. Amen. We should be showing the world what victory in Christ is like and how we handle sickness. It shouldn't be the same for us because we have hope. And we should be showing the world how we handle death, because there's joy there in knowing that that's our reward and not our end. That that's the next part of our journey and not the conclusion of our life. And also in how we handle victory. We've got to be good winners as well in how we live this life. The world needs to look at us and see Christians. People who are Christ-like in how they live their lives. Through every valley and through every mountaintop. Proudly on display for the world to see is how Christ moves and lives and works in each and every one of us. He's designed you to be on display in this world. He's designed you to be seen in this world and to overcome. As a matter of fact, the Amplified Bible in this verse describes you as being a trophy. In other words, so that the world can look at you and see what they can win in Christ. God wants to show the world what can be done in Him through you. But that brings us to the second concept found in verse 14. Yes, we have the concept of God leading us in triumphant procession, but we also have this, that we are the fragrance of the knowledge of God. Have you ever thought of yourself as a fragrance? There's a lot of spouses and people right now having really fun thoughts about the person sitting next to them right now. What would be their fragrance? But have you ever thought of yourselves in that term? A fragrance? Because Paul is describing us as a fragrance, as a smell, if you will. Now, let's do some definitions here, okay? The definition of smell. Merriam-Webster gives us this definition of smell, that it is to use your nose to sense smells. And I love it when they define a word with the word that's being used, but we get that. It's all right. And so since we understand what a smell is, we can move forward. Now, the Bible actually breaks smells down in a couple different ways for us. So biblically speaking, we can think of smells in two different ways scripturally. All right? If we took our friend the skunk that we talked about earlier, he would be grouped into this first category. All right? The Bible declares that there is something called a smell or an odor that it associates with things that were more like our skunk. Bad odors, bad smells, those are what it will give in that verb. Now, the Bible will also declare something good, all right? The perfume that Mary poured on Jesus' feet, they said that the aroma of that perfume, that fragrance, filled the air. So a fragrance is something that is definitely considered good smell. So the Bible declares something that is an odor or a smell, bad, and something that is a fragrant, good. All right? So we can see that. Something that is odorous is not so good, a.k.a. our skunk, and something that smells good, that is fragrant, like our chocolate chip cookies, is a little bit better, right? Now let's take that a step farther. Long after the skunk was done away with, the shovel that I used to carry it off didn't fare so well. Because we took the shovel back into the back room of the store with us. Set it up there. Wasn't much longer after we set it down that we noticed that even though the skunk was now at its final resting spot, that the fragrance, the odor, lived on. We used industrial strength cleaner, cleanser, things that you can't just get at Walmart on that bad boy. And Jim's smiling at me because he knows there's nothing you can do. And we're not a grocery store. We didn't have tomato juice or anything, and I was kind of leery about that anyway. But after a couple hours of trying, my manager came in and the shovel went to its final resting place in the trash compactor because they were tired of having the odor that stuck around after the skunk was done away with. Then there's the other stuff that smells a little better. Today, I'm wearing a cologne called Fahrenheit. My wife got it for me for Christmas. And the reason why my wife got it for me for Christmas is because it was something that I used to wear as a young man. And by young man, I meant way back when we were dating. And as a younger guy, I wore a lot of it. Today, I only did two sprays, one on each side, for balance, right? And because I also know how much the stuff costs per ounce. And that's why it is a Christmas gift. But back when I was young and stupid, you know, it wasn't just two squirts. It was the... I wanted to smell good, right? I had a lady I was trying to impress. I wanted to make sure she could smell me, right? And I overdid it a little bit. I admit it. Because there was times that at our old church, I could walk down the hallway and be in another spot, and she could walk in and smell the Fahrenheit. And know it, I had just passed by. Told you, I used too much. It's okay. But thus, that was why I got it for Christmas. Because it was her way of remembering something I was wearing when we were dating. Good and bad, right? We get that. But I have to ask you this morning, it was so much that we just assume so much of the world, what it sees us, the world comes into contact with us. It gets us. We get triumphantly paraded around this world. But after we pass by, what is the world's secondary experience with us, with you? Is it an odor or a fragrance? With how you live your life in this world, what is the world's secondary experience with you? Would it be something that they, man, I'm glad I remember that. Or, oh, it's such a great thing. Or is it one that is just kind of, ooh. If that's what a Christian's supposed to be, I don't want anything to do with them. What does the world think when it comes into contact with you? You see, people will always see you. And they will judge you by your smell, your fragrance, or your odor. And after all, moms, isn't that what you taught us? My mom always used to tell me, remember whose child you are and whose name you bear when I went out. It wasn't an original thought. I was in the same service that she was in when she heard it the first time. It was just recycled. She liked it. So I got that every once in a while as I was going out. Remember whose child you are and whose name you bear. Because my mom was trying to instill in me that same principle and idea that people will have a taste left in their mouth after I leave. And the world that we live in will have a taste, a smell that's left behind from you, from how you live your life. And it will either be something that draws them to the Lord or something that pushes them away. But this morning, what's yours? And that leads us back to our text. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, and to the other the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Do you see how important our job is? In this world that we live today, the Bible declares that we are the aroma of Christ. Remember my chocolate chip cookie bacon? Oh, that sweet smell that comes from there. I don't know what ingredient it is in it that when it bakes makes it smell that way. I have no idea, no clue, but you can know. Man, that's great. And I'm getting hungry just thinking about it. I'm sorry if I'm making you hungry. But that smell, it makes you want to take a bite. It makes you want to have more. And in this world, that is exactly how God has designed you to be. For your life to be paraded in front of someone else, to come in contact with them, to leave an aroma that makes them want to take more. that wants to make them find out how Christ can affect them. An aroma that makes them want to have life and hope and joy as well in their lives. And how you live your life is to be the aroma of Christ. Let's let this world not just see us, but let them see something so different in our lives that they have to know that there's something more. Show them that you have a peace when things are crazy, that you have a joy in the midst of sorrow, that you have a purpose in the midst of a world full of confusion. And it should be just like that in our lives, that we should be the aroma of Christ in this world. And it shows us today that we must realize a couple things in our lives. It shows us that we've got to come to grips with a few things. First, we all leave a scent. Each and every one of us has a scent. Whether it's an odor or a fragrance is up to you. But each and every one of us leave behind with someone a taste of who Jesus is or isn't based on how we live. This morning you have a scent. And I'm not talking about perfume or cologne or deodorant or lack thereof. I'm talking about something spiritual at work in your lives. Something about what God is doing in you that moves in someone else and shows the impression of who Jesus is. Are we leaving with them the right scent? Are we leaving behind them a fragrance that makes them want more? Are we leaving behind an odor that makes them want nothing to do with church, Christ, or anything else? We all have a scent this morning. And we also must make sure that we have the right aroma. That we're letting people know who Jesus is in our lives and what we do. See, it doesn't matter as much as what we say. It's shown by what we do. Because what we do is what's going to leave that lasting impression in their lives. And that aroma, if you will, of Christ's love for this world. What is that ingredient that makes things smell so well? I really don't know. But spiritually, I know. And it's the love of Christ in our lives that makes the difference. Is He developing in you that love and joy that's on display for the world to see? Is He at work in you? It's easy to tell. This morning, all we have to do is smell. The world will tell you what you smell like. It's up to you whether how you live your life is an odor or a fragrance. This morning I have to ask you, what's your scent? Do you have a lasting aroma that leaves people wanting more of God in their lives? Do you? This morning on Mother's Day, I ask you, what's your smell? Is it good or is it bad? Because today is the day to make a difference. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this day and for its impact in our lives. And Father, we ask that you would be with us in the stillness of this moment and help us to see, Lord, in the bright light of your Spirit shining on us, whether or not the secondary experience of people that you've brought our way, what their reaction is to you because of us. Lord, are we a fragrance or are we an odor? Do we leave a lasting impression that leaves someone wanting more of you? Or do we leave an impression of someone saying they never want to taste that again? Father, this day, may we be an aroma that leads the world to you. May they not only see us living your good deeds and your love, but Father, may the taste that we leave behind be something that so impacts them that they want more and more and more of your goodness. Father, this day I pray for our sent. That it would not only show you off, but Lord, it would draw people to you. We thank you that you use us as a light in this world, as trophies on display, as a parade of your victory in this world. For all of that and more, we thank you. But Lord, give us the ability to not waste that opportunity. Give us the right aroma, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.